Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Year of the Lord's favor for you and for your family. I've talked about this in the past. This is the year. This is the decade. This is a new season for some of you. It's certainly a new season for us at SCRC. It's the next decade. We've been around two full decades. We're starting our third decade. I'm serious. I know some of you thought, well, you know, the whole rumor. I love Mark Twain, you know. The rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. You know, Samuel Clemens. I love those, you know, the rumors when the building, when the previous building was sold, there was rumors, how long do you think Pastor Barry will stay? I'm not that easy to get rid of. I got 20 years with you. By the way, someone called me the other day and was another pastor talking to me about they're discouraged and I don't ever make light of any situation where someone feels discouragement. He said, do you see yourself pastoring after St. Charles River Church? I said, not a chance. I'll be too old. No. Why? I don't think that way. You know, I don't know. No. Do you know we have 20 years together? Don't we? We have 20 years. You know a lot of my flaws. I show them to you every Sunday morning. A lot of them. A lot of them I show to you. Some of you a little more in private, I show other flaws. And you're still here, which is amazing to me, but Gina shows up every Sunday. I love that she shows up. Isn't she intimidating? Were you here last week to hear the story of the jeweler that was intimidated by Gina? We got 20 years together, but this is the next decade. This is the third. I'm sorry, Richard, we're going to get grayer as the year goes by. This is the third decade of St. Charles River Church, and the year of the Lord's favor is just beginning. Yeah. On the SCRC family and on your family, your blood relatives, the year of the Lord's favor. You don't have to live with that junk that came in the 1990s. Yeah, well, we all got family. I understand that. I get that. We don't have to live with the junk. We don't have to throw it over our shoulders and pull it into the next decade with us. Why? Because you are chosen and you are anointed. I said you're chosen and you're anointed. Isaiah 61. Let's go there. I'm going to talk to you just for a few minutes about this. I got about an hour and a half. Okay. Oh, I do. Believe me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Everybody say the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Now, either you're lying or you believe it. Because if you know that God is in you, you know that God is in you. And I'm not saying it because you can quote the Bible and, you know, even, can you know Satan quotes the Bible? You know, in the desert when Jesus was being tempted, Satan wasn't anointed, but he knew the Word. He was talking to the Word, by the way. And by the way, the Word just used the Word back at him. But he has the authority to use the Word. The other one just uses the written languages of the Bible or of the writings at the time. And he would throw it at Christ. He didn't have any authority. He's already been subdued. The Spirit of the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, everybody say Sovereign. Sovereign. He is the Sovereign. He is really in charge. I've taught this in the past. If you're here for another decade, you're going to hear me teach it again. He is Sovereign. He's in charge. It's a really cool thing. And yet the humanity of us wants to be in charge. Until a problem starts. And then, Pastor Carl, would you handle this for me? Because I need you to go handle this for me. You know, I mean, so I get this phone call from this guy. And he's wanting to know, he's got all kinds of issues there at the church that he's dealing with. And he said, there's just time, I want to resign. And I said, dude, every pastor looks at a day where he says that maybe that's the day I need to resign. You know, after a while, you keep dealing with the same thing and the same thing and the same thing. And, you know, it's just normal stuff. It's called, have you ever raised a child? You know, Jesus, even when Jesus was with the disciples, you remember? And they didn't get it, and they didn't get it, and they didn't get it. You know, they saw him raise the dead. They saw him drop leprosy off of people. They saw him give sight to the blind. They saw him give legs back to the crippled, and the lame man outside the gate. We're going to read about that in a minute. And all those things, and their faith was just, and Jesus looks at him and he says, how long do I have to hang out with you guys? How long do I have to remain with you? I'm dealing with the same issues with you 12. Judas, get your hand out of the pot there. Judas, he's got the same issues over and over and over. And yet God chose imperfect people. And he still chooses imperfect people. And he perfects us. How do I know that? Because he just said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, Isaiah wrote this, is upon me. This is you and me, by the way. We are the family of God. We are bought and paid for, not by a sacrifice of a lamb. We were bought and paid for by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, heaven's best. He goes on to say, because the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. Everybody say, anointed me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Now, it's just not talking about those without money. It's talking about those who don't know God. Those who are poor in spirit. Those individuals who are wrecked with the things that life has thrown at them. The challenges that life has thrown at them. The rejections that life has thrown at them. The discouraged, the defeated, those who think they're lost. He said, I have been anointed to preach good news to them. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This is for you and me. This is what we need to be saying. Everybody, I want to challenge you something. In the month of January, if you're wondering what your purpose is for in 2020, I'm not just going to say the year 2020. I'm talking about the decade. The roaring 20s is back. We should be roaring for Jesus in the 20s. We should be roaring for Jesus in the 20s. Yes, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he is roaring, by the way. Yes, he is. But he said, he sent me. Do you know what? Everybody say, he sent me. Don't think this is just Isaiah here. This is us. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Those that are, their hearts are broken. Families that are torn. Children that are living in the rejection of who God is in their lives. You name the issue. Finances. You name the issue. My heart is broken before you. He said, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Do you know that your heart can be mended by the Spirit of the living God who is in you every day? You wake up in the morning, you can say, I have been anointed. Oh, hey, you know hell hates that. I'm not joking when I said it. Hell hates that. That is a declaration of war. That's a declaration of war. Do not become of this mind. Well, I don't want to say it then because I don't need trouble. It's coming anyway. Do you really believe that? Make bold statements in the faith. Listen, if you don't believe it right now, keep saying it and you'll start believing it. Get it in your heart. I am anointed. I am anointed. God chose me. He anointed me. You speak truth long enough, it'll start getting in your spirit. Amen. I'm serious. What we say is so powerful. The power of the mouth, God's word teaches this. It's so powerful. The words we speak into other people, somebody called me not long ago. They went to lunch with somebody. And this person that called me is an upbeat person. I mean, they are just at the top. They're encouraging. And all the words they say, he went to lunch with someone that I'm very close to. And this individual is kind of an Eeyore. And, oh, bother, yes. And so this guy called me and said, how long's that guy been negative? I didn't know he was so negative. I'm so drained right now. This is the positive guy that calls me. I'm so drained right now. I'm telling you, I feel like I need to go home and take a shower and start my day over again. I have never been so discouraged by a spirit-filled believer in my life. And I was just laughing, you know, enjoying the conversation. I said, no, you can't. No, you're the one that speaks the truth into that person. I know, but he was too busy telling me how bad he is, how negative and awful and God-awful things are. What we say is powerfully important. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So bind them up. Don't get brokenhearted with them. Don't join into the misery with them. Don't be the Eeyore with them. Well, I just want to show compassion. I just want to show them. No, don't go on the journey of woundedness. What does he say? We're here. We're sent to bind up the brokenhearted. Don't leave them in the brokenhearted state. And by the way, if they don't hear your words, you don't have to worry about leaving them. Mm-hmm. They'll leave you. Yes. Have you found that to be true? Yes. If you keep speaking, no. That's not what God's word says. That is not what God's word says. This is what God's word says. And you just speak that stuff into them. Speak truth into them. Because what does truth do? Sets you free. So you keep what if you speak in lies? That just binds the brokenhearted. Stay in lies. Are you getting that picture? It says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives. To proclaim freedom for captives. This, by the way, is the Lord. This is the Lord that is actually speaking here through Isaiah. But this is who God speaks into us to be. We're to be like who? Jesus. We're to be like the second person of the Trinity, the voice of God. We are. He gave us a voice on this earth. And released from darkness for the prisoners. There are people in bondage today. All kinds of bondage, from drug bondage. Listen, no matter how deep they stay in their drug bondage or their sexual addiction bondages or whatever their bondages are, depression or whatever they are, you keep speaking truth. Amen. Don't buy into I'm going to say it this way. Please don't, it's going to sound callous, but understand what I mean. Pity parties never set anybody free. Is that right? Pity parties never set anyone free. If we are to be a people that walk into a situation and cause the dynamics to be different, that means we have to be different. We have to be fundamentally sold out that I came into the room to set it free, not to join in the pity party. I'm not talking about don't have compassion for people. If anybody thinks I'm saying don't have compassion, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. It's out of compassion you set them free, not leave them there. Well, I know you're mad at Pastor Barry, and I don't blame you. I've kind of thought he shouldn't have done it that way, too. You know, we got church starting too early. It's just, I can't get there that early. It's 10:30. Excuse me, did you ever get kids up for school at 6 in the morning? It's just too hard to get there that early. You know, I had people when we moved it to 11 so that we could accommodate partnering with Joy Community Church with us at the other building. Do you know, we lost families. They said, I don't want to start church at 11 o'clock. That's too late. That eats into my day. And we actually lost families. Pam will tell you, we lost them out of the cafe. That's too late. I don't want to start my day at 11 o'clock. I think if we... it's even deeper than that. It's shocking that we as mature believers that are anointed and speaking good news actually need to be pleased. Now, there's a thought. I need it my way. Just a thought. That's not what God's word says. I'm not anointed to get it my way. I'm anointed to preach good news, to actually change the temperature of the room when I walk into it. I'm talking about the spiritual temperature of the room. Well, that's who we are. We're the difference makers. We are the difference makers. When the room is depressed and down, and by the way, don't walk into a funeral and all of a sudden roll out a ton of scripture about how, be sensitive to it. There's good judgment. There is good judgment issues here. Well, you know, they're in a better place. Don't tell that to the husband at the casket. Don't tell that to the babies that are standing at their mother's casket. They're in a better place. You know, putting your arm around them, sometimes not saying a word, just a nice hug, says a whole lot. Wisdom is huge on days like that. Don't you love those people that just have to say something, and they use a cliche that doesn't even line up with God's word? Well, you know, money is the root of all evil. That's not what God's word says. I'm sorry. That is not God. I'm going to let you linger on that one for a few minutes if you don't know what it actually says. Money is not the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. If that, you think that's what the Bible says, well, you just quoted it. No, I didn't. I misquoted it. You need to know what God's word says. And if you don't know that the love of money is the root of all evil, you'll buy into cliches. I'm anointed to, you and I are anointed, chosen, selected, set aside by the righteous creator of the universe to change the dynamics in every place we go. Oh, well, turn in your Bibles. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. I mean, just kind of walking along. Just kind of walking along. The church finds itself in situations where it's amazing to me. Here it is. Acts chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Got to get this picture. We're just supposed to be walking and doing life and seizing every opportunity to bring Jesus into the picture. Get that. If we think we exist just to raise our children and our children's children and to spoil them with a lot of money, that's not what God's word in Isaiah 61 just says. I am anointed, chosen. Do you know that He created me to worship Him? In everything I do, Romans 12. Amen. Everything I do, all of my behavior, all of my words, all of my thoughts, you know, if they don't line up with the word of God, to realign my thoughts with the word, but in all aspects of who I am and what I am, everything of my existence is to honor God and to worship Him. Yes. Romans chapter 12. A lifestyle of worship. So these two disciples, the disciples are walking along, and it's one day, it's Peter and John, we're going up to, how much time have I got? Good. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, chapter 3, verse 1, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a crippled man from birth was being carried from the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Very popular verse. Then Peter said, "Look at us." By the way, did you notice the authority that he spoke in?
Yes.
You look at me. You look at me. You look at us for a second. Just a second. You've asked of us, you look at us for a second. Now listen to what he says. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Boy, was he about to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have." King James says, "Have I none. But such as I have, give I unto thee." So silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. Can I tell you something? When God gives you something to give away, and you give it away, it will cost you nothing. Oh, only a few of you heard that. I said, when God gives you something to give away, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. When you start giving away the things God gave you to give, it will never cost you anything. It will only resupply, and it'll multiply your faith. It will multiply your faith. Do you know that your faith will bring about transformation? Your faith will bring about transformation. In any situation, I wish I thought like you. You know, people have said that to me. I wish I could be as positive as you. Listen, I've just seen the track record with God. I've seen a track record. I'm like you, like anybody else. I've stood at the casket of my mother who died of cancer. I have stood at the casket of my brother who was killed by a drunk driver on his 28th birthday. We have seen hard things. I've stood at the side of an urn with Caleb Rios. Know what that feels like? That's a place no parent would want to be. That's a place every parent would say, don't, God, don't ever make me. Don't ever make me go there. And yet I'm telling you, we got parents sitting right back here that are standing back there and worshiping God because God is still God and He is still Creator. He is still God and He is still Creator. We don't have to like decisions that He makes. We don't have to like the decision, but we will deal with life. But I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, it gets heaven's attention when two parents, Eric and Shelley, are still standing in faith, declaring that Jesus Christ is who He said He is. He will always be who He said He is. And He came to bind up the brokenhearted. And every time Eric and Shelley speak something into someone else, they are standing there amazed. How can you do this? How can you exist? How can you get out of bed every morning? How can you do this? How can you be so positive? Because I got a God who created me and loves me, and I will declare His love. Boy, that makes hell mad, dude. That makes hell mad. We're not in the job of making hell mad. We are in the role, though, of being anointed to bring good news and to change the temperature of any room, any place we go into. Well, these guys, he says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. King James says, rise up and walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. He didn't help him up. He pulled him up. I mean, he pulled that guy up. He's speaking with authority. This is a dynamic. This is about to change the town. Get the picture. This is about to change the town because everybody knows the town drunk. Everybody knew. I'm blank on his name down in Steelville. Everybody knew. Well, you remember his name? The town drunk. Everybody knew the town drunk. Everybody knew the town drunk. He was, if I get his first name, I'll tell you, I've told you the story in the past. Everybody saw him stupering along Route 19 between Cuba, Missouri and Steelville, Missouri. Everybody knew him. And one night at First Assembly of God in Steelville, Missouri, the church that my grandparents pastored, there's a railroad track. If you've ever been in Steelville, there's railroad tracks as you go right into the town. There's Brown's Shoe up on the right. The high school, rather, up on the right, and then there is a railroad track. You cross First Church on the left. Now it's a funeral home. Boy, there's something to speak on. First Assembly of God is now up on the hill. You can see it up on the hill there. But he comes right, the town drunk comes into First Assembly of God on a Sunday night, drunk as he has ever been. Everybody knew him. And my dad knew him. Everybody knew him. Everybody called him by his first name. Everybody knew the town drunk. And he starts waving at Pastor Massey, Joe Massey at the time, waving at him. Altar call comes. How many remember the phrase altar call? Altar call comes. There he goes forward. He goes forward. And on a Sunday night, the town drunk gives his life to Jesus Christ. They got the church, I mean, praying for him, laying hands on him, loving on him, loving on him. Bring him in a lot of coffee. But loving on him and loving on him and loving on him. And that guy goes out sober and transformed by the power of the Spirit of God. And do you know, he never missed church. I know his name. I'm just blank. He never missed church after that. He was there. Now, Perry. Perry was his name. Perry, the town drunk. Perry, now his clothes didn't get any cleaner. Perry didn't smell much better, but Perry lived in a little shack about 2 miles outside of Steelville, Missouri. And every time you'd see Perry on Sunday mornings, because we went there. My parents owned a farm down there. And there's Perry carrying his Bible like this. He looked like, and I'm not joking when I say this, he resembled Otis on Andy Griffith tremendously. Same kind of hat. Perry's carrying his Bible down Route 19 to First Assembly. People that would stop, and I know because my dad did it one time. You know what Perry said? Remember, I've told you the story. Perry said, no, This town saw me drunk for 25 years, stupering down Route 19. They're going to see a straight walking Perry every Sunday morning down Route. I want them to see me walk straight all the way to church with my Bible in my hand. And Perry, until the day he died, he was transformed. You think that didn't change that town? You think this guy, it didn't change this town? Yeah. Listen to the, remember, your faith will bring transformation. And it has a ripple effect to it. It has a huge ripple effect to it. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, yanked him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he, now listen, this is a man who really wanted help. Yes. You ever tried to help somebody? I'll get you food. I'll get you. No, I don't want food. I don't want food. I want money. No, but I'll get you food. Come on, let's get, I'll walk you into the rest. No, I want money. Then silver and gold have I none, but what I do have to give to you. Now, if the Lord speaks to you to give, give. Pull that 10, pull that 20 out of there. Don't ask him if he's got change for 20. Have you ever heard of generosity? What did I say? If God gives it to you to give away, it'll never cost you anything. It'll come back to you. That's a promise of God's word. It will come back to you. That's God's promise. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. He went nuts. He was transformed, not just his legs. He was transformed, praising God, it says. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who sat outside begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder of who? Of the God that restored his legs, and amazement at what they had happened to this guy. They were amazed at what had happened to him. You see, bottom line, there's an awful lot of believers today going through life, giving their little, what used to be, well, my testimony. I'll give my testimony. And I'm going to say it this way, but understand it became this. The original use of the word testimony is I was this and now I'm this. I was this and I met Jesus and now I'm this. Paul's, when he was Saul, his testimony went like this. I was a killer of Christians and torturer of Christians, and then I met Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Creator, on a road called the road on the way to Damascus, and he said, then I am now this. I am not the same man that I used to be. I am not the same killer that I used to be. I was once lost and now I am found. That's scriptural. He says, he found me. I didn't find God. God found me. God's word says that. Bottom line, there are so many that go through life giving their little story every once in a while instead of realizing, do you know the power of your story? Do you know the power of your story? Do you realize the power of your story? It's so amazing. Give it away. It won't cost you a thing. What you do have is your story. Give your story away. Not long ago, 99.1 allowed Pam, our Pastor Pam, to get on there and give her story. Oh my Lord, if you know her story, most of you do. Can you imagine the impact of the power of the story? This is what God gave me, and look how beautiful what many declared couldn't have been the Lord's will was so God's will. For my child to be born blind, how is that the will of the Lord? I mean, he gave sight back to the blind. Don't you think Pam and Rick and all of the Pattons and the church at First Assembly of God in O'Fallon, don't you think they asked God for Steve's healing? Of course they did. They asked for it. They begged God for that healing. But do you know Steve is reaching people today that Steve will never reach? He's not blind. Steve can see just fine. Because he knows Jesus. Steve is reaching people today that he would never have reached, and he doesn't consider himself blind. Have you ever been anywhere with him? I've walked through Six Flags with him. And then he hands his cane to somebody else. Steve Patton is an example of a guy that's just determined to give life away. Let me tell you something. Nate, you are more of a blessing in this church. You're more a hero of the faith in this church than you could ever imagine. Amen. You're our hero of the faith. Amen. Do you know how much work it takes for both of you to get ready on a Sunday morning and come and actually lift your hands up and worship? I'm telling you, when this guy stood up and worshiped not long ago, he was determined. If y'all are going to stand up, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to raise my hands. So he's got his hands raised and I can't remember who it was that walked over to me, but I believe it was Randy actually walked over to me and he said, just want you to know, Nate is standing up. I said, Nate who? We had a couple Nates in the church. Nate is standing up. Had a couple Nates in the church. I said, who are you talking about? He said, that Nate. And there's Nate over there. He pushed his stroller away, or his walker away rather, pushed the walker away. And there he's standing worshiping God. And I'm like, oh my God, your testimony, your story, Frank Cusimano adopted. You guys so impacted that man. You guys so impacted Frank Cusimano. He's on the news telling about your faith. Is this something that we would have chosen ever? No. God, no. But somewhere in this, we will say, I will glorify the name of the Lord. And by the way that we heal the brokenhearted and the way that we talk about setting the captive free is we fully acknowledge that we have been there. You can't know. I've had people say, you can't know, Barry. No, there are things I can't know because I've not been there. But I do know what hurts and wounds. I know what rejection feels like. You walk into every church and you meet one pastor, you've met a man who knows what rejection feels like. Whether it's real or not, that's the feeling. Whether it's real or perceived, it's the feeling. And you have to work your way through that. And love on people. And truly, truly, genuinely love them. It's a beautiful thing to walk into a room and be able to speak freedom into someone's life who's in bondage. I've been where you're at, or I've seen where you're at, and I have compassion for it. But let me walk you out of there. I got the key. I got the key to the cell. In fact, let me just take a hammer and a chisel and I'm going to lift that thing off of its hinges. And let me just get the door off of there so nobody ever shuts that door on you again. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are anointed. You're called, you're anointed, and you're chosen to change lives in the year 2020 and in the decade that is ahead of us, this new decade. Will you join us with St. Charles River Church? And I'm speaking about all aspects of our lives. Will you join us as partners, full partners at St. Charles River Church to fill this house in the name of, that's not my order. That's the Lord's order. He said, go into the highways and the byways and bring them in and fill my house. That, why? My house may be made full. Why? So that we are reaching people, and when Christ returns in the rapture of the church, we are all caught away to meet the Lord in the air. It's still happening, by the way, that, you know, when Trump was elected, for some of you conservatives, when Trump was elected, the rapture wasn't canceled or postponed.
That's right.
In spite of what you may think. I'm sorry. God's timing has nothing to do with our will or our timing. Or God's timing is perfect, and He'll do it all well. And He's not all shaken by who's president or not president, or who's Congress, or who's impeached or who's not impeached. He's like, why y'all worry about that? I got stuff for you to do. Don't get distracted. Find a blind man, find a leopard, find a, and I'm speaking of spiritual issues here. Find people that need me and go give me away, and I will replenish everything you give away tenfold. If you give in an offering, seriously, it's coming back to you. It's coming back to you. How many of you have found when you ever gave to the Lord? Now I'm not talking about just a basket going by. You've actually been generous with people, with your finance. When God said, pay somebody's bill at a restaurant, you see a family, a single mom with five children sitting there, and you don't need to know their story. Now, do you have a man at home that's going to pay this bill? You don't have to do the interview. We don't have to do meet the press. All we have to say is, compassion says, go pay that girl's bill. Pay that girl's bill. I can't tell you how many times Gina's done that. She's walked away from me in a restaurant, come back, and the checking account went down. She didn't ask me. She did what the Lord told her. Impact people. And I'm just going to share with you. That's why we're here. Find a place of impact. Remember the message a few weeks ago. Do the unexpected. Do the unexpected. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, speak these words so deeply into our spirit that we would be those who walk into any given situation, any conversation, any room, any school, any church that we walk into, that we are the ones who change the dynamics in the room in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, so that those who are spiritually blind can see, those who are spiritually crippled can walk and jump and praise God again, those who are struggling with depression or some type of feeling of rejection or I have no purpose, God, that we can set them free from lies in the name of Jesus Christ. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge, huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.